You are now listening to The Social Hour.
And welcome to the show. We are here with you. This is your Social Hour. We are Typical Bastards. I'm Deese.
And I'm Brian.
Good morning, or evening, or afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. It's afternoon for us. We're enjoying a little end of summer wind down.
Right.
This is, it's in the death throes, I feel like.
It is, the death rattle. I feel like my summer's been good, though. It's been fulfilled. It's been fulfilling,
I should say.
There's still a few good things coming up left in it. We still have some good weather, good stretch of weather, I hope. But yeah, I've been pleased with my summer overall. I've taken a few trips.
All right.
Been to a few of my favorite places.
Yeah.
Been to some concerts. Had some late nights, some early mornings,
some long days.
All days, all
some
nights.
Long nights, yeah. That's the way it goes in the summertime. Let me get up here on the mic a little bit better. Yeah, it's been a good summer. It's been a busy summer.
Yeah, that's for sure.
For you especially. I'm ready to go just spend like a week at the lake and just do nothing. That's what I wish. But we're down in the 80s. I don't think we're seeing any more 90s.
Probably not. Water level is pretty low.
Yeah.
No more floating in the river.
Nope, that's over with. Nope. I tried to do that a couple weeks ago, and that was just brutal. Or like last week, actually.
Last
Monday or Tuesday, I think we went. It was just beating us up. So
it was rough when you and I and Christina went. I was getting my ass pummeled by those rocks. And
yeah.
Had to get out and walk it at one point, so I can only imagine about a week ago must have really sucked.
Yeah, it's no good. It's over. Summer, I am not, you know me, I love summer. I'm not ready for fall. I'm not ready for winter. I'm trying to figure out, I'm taking almost 2 weeks off at the beginning of October, and I got to figure out where I'm going to go. I want to go somewhere warmer, and right now I'm looking at maybe down to Cozumel in Mexico.
Oh, really? Just a solo trip?
We'll see. It's still in the air.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's kind of a thing for you. You typically do that, don't you? Like every October?
Yep.
Right around there, you take a week or two?
Yep, seems like mid-July and start of October. I kind of want to prolong my summer so I go somewhere close to the equator.
Sure.
That's kind of what I want to do. So we'll see. That or Hawaii, something like that. It's up in the air. I'm working on it right now, so.
Good plan.
I'm looking forward to it, but.
I like it. Look, we'll put Hawaii.
Do you typically go to? Yeah, I usually go to Kauai.
That's right. I'm trying to remember. We were talking about it with Christina.
Yeah, this year it sounds like I'm going to go to Maui if I go. Because our buddy Ethan lives there. I'm going to go hang out with him for a little while if I make it. So
that'd be sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the plan. But.
All right, well, cool. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about a potential Maui trip. We'd have access to a sweet beachfront condo.
I'm all ears for that.
Yeah,
that
okay.
Sounds interesting. Do you want to go in October?
If I could, yeah, sure. But
double birthday bash?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
There you go.
That'd be sweet. Okay, I could be down. Then a little Seattle to see some Adam Carolla in
November. Yeah, I was looking at that the other day, too, so.
Nice. But, good week wound down. This last week was pretty excellent. Friday, I was at the Gorge.
Beautiful, oh, that's right.
Beautiful place. Tom Petty and some Steve Winwood. He did not play back in the High Life again, which I was disappointed.
Bad.
I specifically bought a six-pack of High Life beers.
Oh, God.
Just in commemoration of that, so.
You know, a quick tangent. We had a barbecue Sunday for a friend who is leaving. I don't know if you know Jenny. You have met her. Actually, you have met her. I don't know if you remember. Cute little blonde girl.
What's her last name?
Hoppins.
Yeah, that rang a bell. I'm a face guy, though. I'd recognize her if I met
you
her
would,
before.
Yeah. She's leaving, going to Vancouver to teach, pursue her dream.
B.C. or Washington?
Washington.
Okay. Still a nice area.
Yeah, very nice. We had a barbecue the other night at our friend Heather's house.
Yeah.
And someone brought a 12er of Miller High Life cans, the champagne of beer, champagne.
The gold can. Yeah.
We played some beer darts with that. You know beer darts? You played beer darts.
I don't think so.
Okay, so you set up three beer cans in a triangle, and you have teams of two, and each team has the set of three beers in a triangle at their feet. And you have three darts, and you throw them. If you puncture them, you have to shotgun them.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
And the other team has to shotgun them. So we played, and we were playing with the Miller High Life, and holy shit, that beer is terrible.
It is not a good beer. The champagne of beer, is it because it was a marketing campaign, or is it because that truly was the champagne of beers back
at the time?
Came out?
Oh, man.
I feel like when
the
High Life came out.
Beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Thing.
I feel like when High Life first entered the scene, I think you had like that, Schlitz, Budweiser, and like the original form of PBR.
probably.
That was like it. You didn't have the beer selection you got nowadays.
No, it was horrible.
So back then, it probably was the pick of the pick.
Yeah, you try and shotgun one of those things, it's hard not to puke.
Yeah, I bet. But
anyway, so Steve Winwood, the high life.
Yeah.
You were in the gorge. Paint the picture.
Yeah, the sun was going down. It was beautiful. Just ribbons of color. And looking over the evening sun, reflecting on the water there, it was gorgeous, man. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's smoking weed.
What was the BAC going on at that point?
Oh, man. We got there at, I think we got there about 1 o'clock, set up camp. We're in the camping area, which you've never been there, I think you said.
I've been to the gorge.
But not the camping section.
I don't. I was always in way too hammered.
Okay.
I don't know where I am.
It's like
I'm usually on hallucinogens at the time.
It's like a half-mile walk, essentially, from the gorge itself.
Yeah,
and
probably
it's
not then.
Fenced off. Everyone's all parked there. Just you got your neighbors are crammed right next to each other. It's, you know, it's pretty, you're shoehorned in with everyone else. But everyone's wasted and having a good time trying to get along. There's no drama. But yeah, people start drinking at like 1 and don't stop until, you know, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Or so. And you're pretty tanked.
Pretty tanked.
But you're out there in the open country air just huffing oxygen all day, so somehow you maintain. You stay sober.
Yeah.
It's not like sitting in the bar for 6 hours getting trashed.
It's like being in Vegas.
Yeah.
They pump the oxygen into the casinos and you just go all night.
Yeah.
That and the cocaine.
That helps.
I guess that factors in.
Yeah.
So.
The Red Bull vodkas, I might have something to do with it too.
Yeah, because I need uppers.
Besides, $12 Red Bull.
I need cocaine and Red Bull.
Yeah,
that's what gets me going. I just can't wake up in the morning without my cocaine and Red Bull. Something about it, you know. Don't talk to me before I've had my cocaine and Red Bull.
Yeah. But that was good. Saturday night was Book of Mormon.
Oh, that's right.
I know you saw it. You loved it.
I did.
I'm not a big play guy, let alone a musical guy, but Book of Mormon was fantastic.
It was amazing.
We got cheap tickets. Granted, the seats were cheap also, but didn't really matter in the auditorium in the IMB Center because...
They're all pretty good seats.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you couldn't see up-close facial expressions per se, but it didn't really matter. Great show.
Yeah.
Loved it. My uber-religious and conservative parents thought it would be a good idea to see it. They had orchestra seats.
How'd they like it?
So
they paid primo dollar.
Well, my dad scored them cheap somehow on Craigslist. He's always finding like last-minute deals.
Your dad just has a like kismet.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
He makes it work.
So.
My mom said she laughed, she cried, she...
She cried with horror or cried with laughter?
Probably both, frankly, especially the fuck God and the cunt portion. But
yeah, God in the ass mouth and cunt.
My parents can look at things objectively, though, which is cool about them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't shove their religious beliefs down people's throats, and, you know, they don't swear themselves, but they don't like the word fuck. My dad would pretty much rather watch a porn than watch a movie that says fuck a whole bunch for some reason.
Well, I can get down with that.
But, sure. But
your dad and I can hang.
Yeah, I can
save a
couple
F-bombs just to watch, you know, Ass Candy Part 7.
Yeah, you know, Asian Sluts 9.
Yeah.
But they liked it. They liked the message, and they got the overall point. Great show.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was. I laughed my ass off. Actually, someone offered me a free ticket to go Saturday night, and I was really tempted to take it, but you know, I'm just finished up moving to the new place. I had just way too much shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed I didn't get to go again, but you know, whatever. It was a great show.
It's been going on for what, 8 years now? 7 years? So
is it that long?
It's been a long time.
No way.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure at least 5.
Alright, well that's a jump from 5 to 8.
It's not that long. But I'm sure it'll be back around again.
I think
first time in Spokane, but it's sold out. I mean it'll come back.
Yeah, I think so. It was great. And whoever played that main little black girl was a hottie.
Yeah, I didn't see her close enough to really get a picture of it.
But
I liked her voice.
I like black girls, so.
Yeah, it's true.
I like those ethnic girls.
You just about like anything with a pussy, let's be real.
Well, I mean that porcupine was a bad idea.
Well, yeah. Did it quill up on you a little too hard?
You know, I mean, not anything, but most things.
Good show. I did love how... I can never get to tell their voices apart. Trey Parker or Matt Stone.
Okay.
Who I don't know which ones do which, but like Jesus narration, it was totally them, you know. Especially Jesus, like, you guys.
Yeah.
that was great.
Well, you could see the parallels between those voices and the voice of South Park.
Yeah.
Very much so. And everything they've ever done. But yeah, it was great. I'm glad you got to see it and enjoyed it. Not a musical guy either, but well done. Genius. Just the message was perfect. And they just delivered it.
Like you said, it was poignant. You know, I'm not going to go see Oklahoma the musical, but glad I saw that.
Maybe Rent, but I mean, not Oklahoma. Let's not get crazy. So, if it's Cats coming back.
Okay, I hope so. No, some Rumpel teaser.
I had a girlfriend when I was like 19 years old who tried to get me to watch a video of the production of Cats. And I got about like 7 minutes in.
Was this like somebody set up a camera in front of the stage?
No, it was like a professional, like it was like professionally filmed, you know, like by Cats on Broadway on film, you know, type thing.
Experience the magic at home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get swept away by the pageantry. Cats dancing. Yeah, grown people in cats costumes dancing. And I'm just going, what the fuck? It took about 7 minutes. I'm like, you're on your own, sweetie. I'm out.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Call me later. So, but, yeah, so good week. Start of a new week. Got a shit ton planned for this week, too. Seems like it just keeps rolling, but we'll make it happen. Make it happen. So, anyway, let's get in and mix it up a little bit.
Let's jump into it.
So, I know we got some things from last week. We're going to get into the our perfect movies. We talked about that. We got a list here. We're going to go over.
We both like movies. I think our listeners probably like movies. I don't like to consider myself a movie buff. I just hate that term. Like, are you a movie buff? Yeah. Like, my mom's referred to me as a movie buff. I'm like, I wouldn't even consider myself, like, on the same level as a movie buff. I know a lot about movies. I appreciate it. I got an eye for it. But it's like, yeah, I just hate that fucking term.
Yeah.
Movie buff.
Well, I haven't, like.
It's awkward.
It's, oh, I don't want to describe it. It sounds like someone who's, you know, someone who's studied film to the point of, like, you know, like, loves, like, you know, some French foreign film because, you know, it's like, I'm not that. I'm not a movie buff like that. I don't watch Bollywood films and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I like film, American film.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, a patriot. I don't fucking watch that other foreign shit.
No. How many good foreign movies are there? I don't know. I don't watch them. They annoy me. They're boring.
Yeah.
It's like, every now and then you get like a British-American movie where it's like, so I think they call it most like, if you're a British director but you make a movie in Hollywood, it's British-American, or like half of it. Or like, actually take this Eyes Wide Shut, that Stanley Kubrick film.
Okay.
I think that's actually referred to as a British-American film because
really?
It was, half the production was over in the UK, apparently.
Well, then that's pretty much every one of his movies then.
Yeah. But overall, like, in general, foreign films.
Well,
like,
what about Mad Max? That was an Australian film.
I don't know. I never saw it.
Jesus Christ.
I know what that seen, Jaws. There's some
Wizard of Oz. You ever seen Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, when I was like four.
Okay, that's still, that movie still holds up. By the way,
that's what I've heard.
I
the
like
Blu-ray probably looks good.
I'd imagine. Yeah,
but so we like movies. So we're gonna talk about what we think of perfect films. So we came up with our little list of 10 perfect films.
Yeah. And we'll get into that.
We will. We'll pick it apart. But I was going to say, after that, next week we're going to talk about possibly overrated films. And I was thinking,
that's right,
what could be a fun game? Everyone's obsessed with the gritty reboots these days. Like RoboCop's getting a gritty reboot. Batman got a gritty reboot. Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, gritty reboot.
Hold on, let me guess. Darker and angsty. Hold on, wait.
Angstier,
yeah, I'm going out on a limb here.
Yeah, Peter Parker masturbates to corn.
Yeah, okay, so what is this? Like a probably a real light and fluffy Batman? You know, real easygoing, laughing, not dark at all, right? Is
his
that what
suit's
we're going
a
for?
Lighter shade of gray.
Yeah,
it's got a little teal in there, maybe.
Yeah, just a splash.
Hints
you know,
of
little,
white and gold.
They call it a color pop in the design world.
Yeah, something like that.
A pop of color.
Stands out.
So,
but I thought it could be fun if we came up with a list of gritty reboots. Like, what would make for a gritty reboot? And it could be either funny, like oh, that'd be, you know, silly, like Finding Nemo, gritty reboot, you know, whatever. Like, or like maybe make it serious. Like, I've got a couple in mind that I think, if done right, could actually be badass gritty reboots, like retelling of stories. So I think we should come up with a list of that for next week as well.
All right. Do we want to save that for the week after? Do 1 week every, overrated next week and gritty reboots after?
Let's,
or do we want to do them both?
Let's do them both next week, because I feel like if we're talking about perfect movies, we can take a little more time breaking them down and figuring out what makes perfect. Whereas if it's overrated, it's just overrated. We'll go through that list
quickly.
That's
true.
So,
okay.
I'm going to
write that down then, because otherwise I'll forget.
Gritty movie reboots. Like, come up with something you think could be either cool or just be being funny, whatever. So,
Home Alone.
Yeah.
The thieves get in and they rape little Kevin.
Kevin
McAllister.
Yeah.
Gets, and then he turns into a vigilante.
Yeah.
Like, breaks into his cell and now we're just home alone.
You and me, this blowtorch repair for players.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie Hard Candy with Ellen Page?
I did. That was Ellen Page?
Yeah.
And it had Patrick Wilson. I think is his name. Is the owl name? From Watchmen.
Oh, he's kind of creepy looking. He looks like a child molester.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
And she ends up, she pretends to castrate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I did see that. That was a very strange movie.
So, all right. Well, let's get moving here on the and start what's going on today? What have you found this week that piques your interest?
I was going to say, let's start off with something that's trending because, you know, we like to be topical and current. Although by the time this makes it to the website and we have more than 4 listeners on it, you know, this will be old news. But we could talk about it now. And you know how I like to bitch about trends, especially when they get off the rails like it has in a very short amount of time. What I'm about to mention, take a guess. What do you think I'm
going
to talk about?
I am going to go on a limb and say, hopefully it's the same thing that I always want to talk about today with the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Bingo!
Knew it. Yeah. Fuck this thing. No, yeah. I don't want to. Okay. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post the other day.
I don't think I did.
So I was like sitting there and I'm going, I'm watching all these videos on Facebook, right? People posting this and doing this Ice Bucket Challenge. And I started thinking, I'm like, okay, who's the joke really on here?
Yeah.
Isn't the joke on the ALS Foundation? Because instead of actually donating, all these people are doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. It's like, no, fuck donating. I'd rather pour a bucket of ice on my head and fuck those people.
And film it and then call my friends out.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, okay, you realize you're not donating. You could donate is the other option.
Yeah.
But they don't.
No, they don't. And taking that one step further, one thing that I've noticed is, and not only are they probably not donating, they don't even mention what the fuck it's for. It's now it's just the ice bucket
it's just
challenge.
The thing, yeah.
I think it was like Robert Downey Jr. I just saw his.
Yeah.
Or there's another one before that. Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt did.
Yeah. I don't think they even mentioned it. They're just like, I'm here doing the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
And then bam, they get ice bucketed. And then he's like, no, I'd like to call out the fucking guy that played Loki and the guy that did this and you know this guy and this guy. And that's it's just the ice bucket challenge now. It's kind of like icing with the Smirnoff ice. Where, you just do it to your friends. Like, there's no point behind it now. If you just caught on, you wouldn't even know what the fuck it's for. It's just people pouring ice water on their heads.
Right, for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if, like, someone, if you took someone from the past, like, if you took, like, Benjamin Franklin and took him to current times, and you're just talking about, this is the ice bucket challenge these people do. Like, what art thou doing?
Yeah.
Pouring ice on thine head for no reason. Like, just wildly confused at these assholes just pouring ice water on their heads. First of all, you have to explain to them what ice is. Why there's ice. Like, why do you have snow in your water?
Really.
So, it's gotten out of control. I mean, I akin it to this when I was talking to someone the other day. I go, this would be like taking a bunch of, going to a Toys for Tots rally with a bunch of Hot Wheels toys and being like, all right, here's the deal. You can shove these up your asshole or give them to these kids. But, you know, fuck these kids.
Yeah.
Let's just torture ourselves instead for no fucking reason. Or you just fucking donate.
Yeah, that's a very very adept analogy.
So
I would agree with that. Yeah, forefathers, Benjamin Franklin away. I put my name on a list to get hung if this doesn't work out, so you assholes could do this centuries down the road.
Yeah, like, this is what you've done with your liberties? Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, everything worked out splendidly.
Yeah, this is exactly what we envisioned.
And again, it's always, I always bring it back to this. Like, are we out of problems?
I don't think so. I checked.
Like, crime rate 0, graduation rate 100%, all the prisons, we've got a bunch of prison guards with nothing, out of work, nothing to do because the prisons are empty.
Yep.
You know, is that our problem? Like, I understand, look, ALS Foundation is a good thing. Maybe you motherfuckers should actually donate instead of pouring ice on your head.
Yeah, how many of the celebrities are actually donating?
Right.
Nothing. And they'll argue that they're raising awareness for ALS. Which I guess is a good thing, because honestly, I don't even know what ALS was. I just knew it as Lou Gehrig's disease. I was like, what the fuck is ALS?
And yeah.
I had to look it up. And
is that like a new, like a lesbian soccer league?
Yeah, right?
The ALS, oh yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, yeah.
Keep it a softball.
That's some Canadian sport.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's gotten out of control. And I guess, someone told me this, which I didn't know the other day, and I don't think anyone else knows. If you're challenged to do it, you're supposed to donate $10.
Oh, I see.
That's never mentioned in any of these Facebook posts either.
Yeah, half these millionaire celebrities probably aren't even doing that.
Yeah, especially every douchebag on Facebook you see doing it. Yeah. They're just like, oh, look, I got water poured on me now. Did you donate your $10 you're supposed to?
Yeah.
Or have you donated anything? No. You know, it's like, I just like, it's so show that narcissistic and like assholes.
It really is.
Are. Like, we would rather pour, like, torture ourselves than actually donate to a foundation that helps people.
Yeah.
Like, nah, fuck those people.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it boils down to. And Of course, I like the idea of raising awareness and trying to help these people.
Yeah.
But this is kind of side note, kind of related. I've never understood these like fucking AIDS walks or like cancer walks. It's like for every mile you walk, X amount of dollars or cents is donated. Well, why do we have to walk? Why don't you just donate the money?
Right.
Like at that, this has always baffled me. It's like people already know about breast cancer.
Well,
why do I have to walk to get that money donated? How about you just give that money anyway?
Right. Dickhead? And again, they say the awareness and whatever, but it's like, how about you're wasting? How many people go on AIDS walk every year and waste how many precious man hours just walking a fucking circle?
Yeah.
You know, walking 2K instead of actually putting that to good use and doing something with their time. Mm-hmm. No, we just walk in a circle and raise $37. Well, great. That $37 is awesome. The jackass could have just donated if he's going to donate.
Yeah.
And you could have done something more successful with your time.
Yeah. Like make quilts.
Right. Yeah. They're going to make an AIDS blanket. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get where we think. We just everything's like a jack off party now.
Yeah.
We just want to fucking jerk each other off all the time about what we're doing. It's like, oh, look at me, I'm in an AIDS walk. Look at me, I donated to an AIDS walk. If 90% of people in America could walk by someone on a street corner, literally dying of AIDS, and would step over them every single day.
Yeah.
But because some asshole wants to be, say they walked, a mile and a half for an AIDS cause, and you donate, all of a sudden you're a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That's what I kind of like about these undercover camera shows. Not really a show, but you see this on YouTube a lot where these kids, these young adults will go out there with cameras and they'll pretend to be homeless or like in need, and they'll ask for like people's like spare food and change and get.
I think that's called living in Portland.
That's is that it? Maybe certain parts of downtown Seattle.
They come up with like cargo shorts and Izod shirts, and you're like, you're homeless.
Yeah,
I can't tell the homeless people from the not homeless people.
Oh yeah. So, shit, lost my train of thought. But basically,
YouTube.
Yeah. Homeless. So they catch people. Most people are like, oh no, I can't share a French fry with you, or whatever.
Right.
It's like, it comes to them getting attention on YouTube, they're all about this cause all of a sudden.
Right, no kidding.
Yeah.
Because they get their face out there.
Yeah, it's pretty bullshit, dude. Yeah. I'm ready for this to die off.
It will. Like every other trend, everything comes and goes so quickly. These fucking stupid, I don't know, planking was cool 8 months ago.
Jesus
what
Christ.
Happened to that?
Which led to owling.
What was that again?
That's where you essentially hunch up like this, like you're sitting like an owl.
Oh, okay.
Like how you try to take your human form and make yourself look like an owl, basically. And then you perch on top of something.
I can't turn my head around 360.
Yeah, no.
So
you're not like The Exorcist?
No. I wish. Need to find a girl like that.
That would be interesting.
So here's this is something, again, talk about a trend that's annoying. This is just people who everyone wants to be offended by something.
Right.
You know, we talked about the other week the lady who was offended by her stretch marks. You know, went to the beach in the bikini and the stretch marks, and the kids were dicks to her. But you know,
lady with the retarded ass name.
Yeah, I forget.
Tannis Jex or some shit.
So this is in North Carolina. A woman was upset after finding a swastika drawn in her McDonald's sandwich.
Drawn?
So, what
did somebody do with, like, the ketchup bottle?
Yes. Like, literally, it was a condiment. It was, like, a breakfast sandwich. It was a chicken sandwich. And for some reason, she opened it. And on the inside of the bun, they had made a swastika with the mustard. Okay. So, on the buns, you could see, like, the imprint
on the inside of the bun?
Well, right.
Like, she had to lift up the...
Yeah, I don't know why she opened it.
Yeah, like, who opens a McDonald's sandwich?
I don't know.
Do you really want to see what's in there?
Yeah, like,
no.
What, that's worse. You're just making it worse.
Yeah.
All
right, I'm just going to jump to the conclusion here. She did this herself.
You think so?
She opened up the bun, made the swastika stick. I was like, oh, look what I found. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. My mind didn't go there, but maybe. This is what... This was her quote. She said that she still worries. She's worried that the employee failed to understand the gravity of the stunt. And her quote is, "I felt so sick. Did someone think this is a joke?" And it's like, look,
was she a Jew or something?
No. No, she was. She was not. Definitely not one of the chosen people. You could tell. Yeah. Look, Nazis are bad. Racism is bad.
Sure.
That is not the point of what I'm trying to say here, people. So save your hate mail.
Yeah.
My point is, how fucking offended as a 32-year-old adult do you need to get at a swastika on your fucking chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, if you're having a chicken sandwich from McDonald's for lunch, you've already lost at life.
Sure, if that's your choice.
You've already lost. Nobody gives a shit about your opinion anymore. Second of all, I felt so sick. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's...
Who cares?
Yeah.
How much of a boo-hoo cry for me? Like, look, I'm a victim. Someone drew a swastika on my sandwich.
There's so much of that these days. Yeah, everybody wants to be the victim. Everyone's finding a reason to get upset. Like you said,
there's a settlement coming here. I would bet money there's a settlement coming here from
You're
McDonald's
right.
to this woman. She's gonna be emotionally distraught. I can never look at a Big Mac again. I can't see golden arches, let alone regular arches.
Yeah.
Or even regular archways make me, you know, I have, you know, PTSD from,
yeah.
you know, just...
She's going to have to stay in... There's so many McDonald's everywhere that she's going to have to stay inside full time, get herself
right.
a little therapy Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's right.
She's
got a little... Some dog with a little red vest that she takes everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean...
It keeps me sane.
Yeah, it cures my anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, how upset do we have to get about the most benign things now?
It really is, and kind of taking it a step further, and this isn't even the point of the article, but the fucking swastika itself is a bastardization of an old Hindu symbol.
Mm, really?
It's actually a very peaceful symbol originally, and for some reason the Nazis decided to adopt it as theirs, and now that's what made it famous. So if this lady knew anything, she shouldn't even be that offended by it. She could have taken it as, you know, hey, these people are offering me peace here.
Is that what
they're offering me peace in my intestines after I eat the sandwich.
Oh, yeah, well.
So, but yeah, that's ridiculous, man. It's just the whole, oh, poor me mentality. Everyone's trying to be a victim.
Right. I mean, why do we need to be angry about, like, you could...
I hope she has friends that told her to shut the fuck up and grow a pair.
I don't think she has friends.
Probably
she,
not.
If she's looking for this kind of attention, she doesn't have friends.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Someone should have told her to shut the fuck up already. But I mean, you could send me my food saying anything. I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You could say, you know, fucking Spix. I'd be like, all right, well, I'm gonna eat this now. I don't
yeah.
give a shit, dude. Who cares? You're talking about an employee, a 16-year-old fucking stoner employee from McDonald's. Does his opinion really hurt your feelings that much? Or the fact that he drew a swastika really hurt your feelings that much? Like, how does that affect your life at all?
Yeah. Yeah, how does it affect your life? Eat your fucking sandwich and move on. Maybe talk to the manager, get a new sandwich, get a coupon for a voucher for a free value meal.
Yeah.
But move on. It's that kind of reminds me, a few weeks ago, in taking it local here, in the Inlander, they do their jeers section.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Usually the only thing worth reading in the Inlander, although I don't like it because it's always a bunch of passive-aggressive pieces of shit in there.
Yeah.
One guy was literally like, you know, to my asshole neighbor who lets his dog take a crap in my yard and doesn't pick it up. It's like, dude, it's your neighbor. He's letting his dog shit on your yard. You are in the right.
Right.
Why don't you go over, knock on his door, and tell him to knock it the fuck off instead of complaining anonymously about it in some magazine
right.
he's not going to read.
Yeah, because you know, right, do you think every neighbor is like, okay, first of all, if this guy lets his dog shit on your lawn, he's not... self-aware enough to read that
yeah.
and think that it's him anyway.
True.
Because he's just a narcissistic asshole.
Yeah.
So, and he doesn't give a shit. And even, you know, it's like, you know that guy who wrote that article has never said anything to his neighbor, never will.
No, yeah, he's too much of a pussy.
Yeah.
Even though he's in the right. But anyway, there was a jeers I remember reading about. He was like, I'm assuming it was a guy. He goes, I was at some major big box electronics retailer. I won't name names.
Best
but,
Buy,
because you know,
that's the only fucking
yeah,
one that exists.
Circuit City closed, so
yeah.
it's you. And he said as he was walking out, he overheard some teenage employees jokingly use the word, or the phrase, no homo, to each other. So he said he heard that, he was very offended, and the rest of his day was ruined, and he had to go home. And that just pissed me off. I wanted to write a jeers back to that guy. It's like, and he's like, I would never shop at a store where the managers would allow their employees to behave that way. It's like, okay, idiot, first of all, how many employees does Best Buy have? The managers don't have an ear on every single employee 24/7. They don't know what every single one is going to say. That's why it's up to you to report it so they can then talk to them about it. Idiot. But also the fact that this ruined your entire day. Shut the fuck up. They're still like 17-year-old kids joking around with each other.
Yeah, how...
They didn't say it to you. They said it to each other. Yeah, they should have watched their mouth because they're in public. But you know what? The fact that it's ruined your entire day. Good, I'm glad it ruined your entire day. I hope it ruined your week. If you're that much of a little bitch about this.
Such a pussy. They like, someone say no. Here's the thing. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. And I was telling them that, I go, you can't offend me.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe me. Like, I'm like, no, really, you can't offend me. There's nothing you can do or say to offend me. You can say whatever you want about my friends, my family. It's not going to offend me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because, you go, first of all, I don't give a shit what your opinion is, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Like, generally, like, I mean, I like my friends and stuff. I value their opinion, but...
Sure. If you don't know a person, it's like
I don't give a... I really don't care, you know? Or if someone... Even if it's a friend of mine, they want to have a negative opinion of me, it's like, well, that's a fucking choice, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I can't sit there and worry about every goddamn person. People can say and do whatever the fuck they want to do. It's not... they're not my employee. They're not my friend. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
And this guy isn't the CEO of Best Buy. He's a minimum wage jackass that works in the fucking, you know... whatever computer department of goddamn Best Buy.
Cell phone accessories,
yeah, probably. He's fucking showing people a washer and dryer every day. He's probably not the... You know, clearly, he's probably not working his way through med school.
Yeah,
okay, the guy is,
most likely.
The guy is just some fucking moron.
Maybe dental school.
Maybe dental assistant school.
Yeah. Carrington College.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Phoenix in all of us, or yeah, whatever the hell his name is.
I am a Phoenix.
Yeah, there you go. The
DeVry.
So who gives a shit, dude? He's not the face of a company.
Yeah.
You know, you have a choice to let this ruin your day or to just go on and keep moving.
Yeah.
If you're a well-balanced adult, you should be able to keep moving and not give a shit.
Yes, very true.
But, and again, everyone wants a reason to be offended and wants a reason to be pissed and just wants to be a victim because it's a woe is me, look at me, this happened to me, you know?
Yeah.
And, goddamn, we've got bigger issues. But
absolutely.
Unfortunately, we don't give a shit about any of them.
Most people's issues don't go past their head.
That's very true. So,
or most issues, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so that was interesting. About speaking of issues. Oh, and I wanted to go back to ALS real fast. I saw this awesome meme, if you can call it that. It was a picture of Lou Gehrig from back in the day, and it was like in quotes. It said that. So, God damn it, Babe Ruth poured a bucket of ice water on my head, and then suddenly my legs quit working. Like,
that's kind of funny. That kind of reminds me. Did I ever tell you how I wanted to make a Muhammad Ali bobblehead doll?
No. You did not tell me about that. That'd be a seller. You could sell it at Boo Radley's, I feel like.
Thought the irony. I thought possibly the irony would be the head didn't bobble at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ironic version of the... Muhammad Ali or Michael J. Fox bobblehead doll.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Not too soon, sorry.
He's still alive, it's okay.
So, speaking of, this just reminds me, and I didn't even have this written down, but it just brings up.
Speaking of alive celebrities,
we're going to talk about not alive celebrities for a second.
Yeah.
And I think everyone knows where we're going. Robin Williams.
Yep.
Died. He didn't, he killed himself.
Now, how did he do it? Was it...
He hung himself.
Oh, he did? Okay.
And it wasn't the fun kind of hanging himself like David Carradine. Like, his penis was still in his pants.
Okay. Wasn't wearing female panties or anything?
No. So, but I guess he had early onset Parkinson's. That's what they said. He had the early... He was in the early stages of Parkinson's, his wife said.
Him and Fox could hang out.
Yeah, that's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
They said he was clinically depressed.
Right.
Which I still hate that phrase.
Yeah.
I fucking get up your ass and go do something. Like, I don't like pills for a cure for depression.
No.
You know?
And I feel like also a guy like Robin Williams, I don't know his personal life and the ins and outs of it, but the fuck does that guy have to be? If he's depressed, what should I be? I mean, I feel like this guy's got everything. The guy's loaded.
Yeah.
He's internationally loved. He's got a family.
I guess he had some money issues. Like, he was paying off some debt. Like, he went through a divorce a while back, and that financially really crushed him.
Huh.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Guys like that, they have so much money going out every month that a divorce can just ruin them, because you now all of a sudden don't, you know, you got 40% of your assets instead of 60.
That's right.
And you were paying X, you know, you have so many bills that you're just paying every month, and all of a sudden you can't afford them. And, you know, next thing you know, you're signed up to do Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Yeah.
You're pulling Nicolas Cage.
Straight to
playing
Netflix.
Every fucking movie you can get a role in. Yeah. Ghost Rider 2, I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, for $47 in a sandwich.
Yeah, really.
You can write that check out to the IRS. And make that.
Yes, yeah,
make that pay.
Wesley Snipes.
Poor Wesley. He's making a big comeback. Expendables
3. Yeah, he's probably got like 4 minutes of screen time. He was always B-list, so I don't know how that guy ever got in. Like,
hey, hold on. Demolition Man was...
I never saw that.
Well, I never did either, actually. Yeah. Well, no, I did. I did see that, actually.
White Men Can't Jump, that was great.
That was a great movie.
That was a great film.
Great movie, yeah.
That was, and even with his whole, like, Blade shit, he still just always felt B-list to me for some reason.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway, that was... I digress.
But Robin Williams... Okay, so... Here I'm going to go sound like an asshole again.
Not untypical.
I don't feel sad about this.
I don't either. I mean.
And I don't understand when people feel sad when celebrities die, because I didn't know them.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm not a real sentimental or emotional guy to begin with.
True.
But it's like, all right, so great. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a guy, 'cause I'm a little older. But the thing I remember from most is Mork and Mindy.
Never saw that either. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. He's like an alien, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, that was the show. That's what I remember him from most. I watched that show as a kid.
Interesting.
The movies and stuff, like, I can't name a lot of movies he did that I watched.
Yeah, I got Doubtfire, Hook, The Voice for the Genie, and Aladdin. I liked that movie a lot as a kid. That's really it, though. I can't really think of, like, shit else that... Popeye.
I've seen Popeye, but yeah, I mean, Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh,
that's a good movie.
I never saw that.
That's a good movie. I suggest it. Right. I really like.
Oh, Good Will Hunting, great film.
I've actually never seen that movie.
It's good. If I think it's on Netflix right now, you should stream it when you get a chance.
Yeah. I have a real beef against Boston, so I fucking hate that. I hate Massachusetts.
You'll hate that shit, then. Wicked Smat. That's where that shit comes from.
Fucking annoys me.
Wicked Smat.
And besides that, it's like, I don't know. I never found his brand of stand-up comedy particularly hilarious.
Yeah, I never got into it. I mean, he's talented. He's quick-witted. He thinks quick, and I like his impressions. He can do some spot-on impressions.
Well, you do that much cocaine, you're pretty quick at everything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're moving pretty fast. You know, he wasn't known for being addicted to Quaaludes.
Yeah.
So, the guy
opium addiction.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't feel that bad. I don't feel bad when people die. I don't think he was, like, the face of a generation by any means, or was just... and maybe I'm just a jaded asshole.
No, I think there's something to it, man. Like, some of these... I believe... And this kind of leads me to something I wanted to talk about Robin Williams passing. The people that you always see on Facebook talking about how sad they are, like, someone was saying, like you know, like when Chris Farley died, I cried. Like, I cried for Robin Williams. Like, did you know him personally?
Right.
First of all, you can still go back. It's like his movies and the stuff that you loved about him isn't going anywhere.
Right.
In fact, it's going to come on the forefront even more.
Yeah.
Like, anytime, like, when Aaliyah died, suddenly their album sales went way the fuck up.
Right.
Same thing with that. When I went on Netflix a week ago, and it was like, recommendations for you. The first six were Robin Williams movies.
Right.
I've never watched a fucking Robin Williams movie on Facebook. Or on Netflix. But anyway, these people... Yeah, they act like they knew him personally. Like, it was their own godfather or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, the guy hasn't made shit in years, so it's not like you're missing out on some, like, awesome new content he's putting out.
Right.
You didn't know him personally. You know, Chancellor, you didn't even think about him until he died again.
No.
The last time you saw him movie was when you were kids. Shut up. It's sad that he died, but whatever. Get over it.
How many people, like, the day before he died would be like, you know who I would love to see in a movie again? Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Like, no one.
No one. Maybe his agent.
Right, maybe his agent. Yeah, is the guy who does this. His accountant.
Yeah. Business manager, probably.
Yeah, I was like, I'd love to see him in a movie again.
Yeah, come on.
Selfish reasons, but...
Take a look at that Doubtfire 2 script again.
Yeah, let's sign up for that.
But that leads me to kind of back to the attention whoring, what people need. I've come to dub these the older sibling posts, or oldest sibling posts. Mm. Like, the oldest sibling always seems to need, they need to feel, they need attention, they need to make a scene, because the younger sibling's getting all the attention now. And that's what these posts on Facebook start to remind me of, like, R.I.P. Robin Williams, you'll be missed, or like when Steve Jobs died, it was like that. It's like people that, you know, yeah, you watched a movie of his when you were a kid, you own an Apple iPhone, so what? And then suddenly they just like to be the breaker, the bearer of bad news. They like breaking the news and like acting like they're in the know and like, I need attention, right, look at me.
Right. I'll be sad when like Elon Musk dies.
Sure.
The guy is a genius.
Yeah.
Opens up all his patents on the Tesla vehicle to anyone. He didn't, no closed source patents. He opens them up to everyone.
Wants to make the world a better place.
Right.
He's working on that awesome super tunnel.
Right. Yeah. The guy's a genius. I'll be sad when he dies.
Sure. Not the inventor of the iPhone, though? No.
No. Not even a fuck about that. Okay. We've got phones. We've got other funny people addicted to cocaine in the world. I don't give a, it's whatever. Not that sad. I hadn't thought about the guy in a long time. I really don't care. I didn't cry when my own grandma died. I'm not going to cry when Robin Williams dies.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. You're not going to go on a Netflix binge and watch like his entire catalog?
No, I didn't watch any, and I don't care. I think really the only movie he ever made that I would have any interest in watching again is Good Morning Vietnam. Hmm. Beyond that, I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Where are we at? You got anything else down there?
Something caught my eye. You want to hear about some weird shit?
I do.
Alright, so over in Berlin, we got this guy that's calling himself a performance artist, which everyone's a performance artist these days.
This story is great already.
We'll see where it's going.
Anything in Germany is always amazing.
Yeah. Title was Performance Artist from the Huffington Post. Performance artist to have sex with a different man every day for a year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now my first thought was is this going to be like voyeuristic? Are people going to watch? Is he going to do it in public?
Does he know these people? Is this people volunteer and walk by? Like first person to walk by, he just jumps out the bush and...
So basically what it is, and this is where I kind of want to get your take to see if you kind of thought what I thought about, like, oh, really? So when does it go from being a performance piece to, like, you just having an excuse to, like, try to get a bunch of sex?
So hold on. I can see the follow-up article to this in 6 months. Performance artist in Germany dies of full-blown AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is 6 months from now, the follow-up article.
Performance art was realized.
Yeah.
He says it's an exploration in the emptiness of our modern-day hookup culture.
I've been doing a... I actually wasn't ready to announce this yet. I was going to make a big announcement on MySpace next week.
MySpace.
It's coming back. We're bringing it back. Me and JT.
Fuck that. How about Friendster?
Friendster, yeah. I didn't know that was ever a thing, even.
Like the original MySpace, yeah. Friendster.
I have been doing some performance art. I've been trying to beat off every day for the last 17 years.
Okay.
So far, I'm successful.
All right. A daily wank.
Pretty magical. Okay. It's a big deal. You know, I was trying to make it to 18 years.
But what was the exploration? Were you trying to explore the love in yourself?
Well, sometimes I was exploring my cock. Sometimes I was exploring my balls a little bit. sometimes just the head.
Yeah,
you know, there's different areas to explore.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of real estate down there.
But what's the end game?
The end game is shame.
Sure.
And I always got there.
A little self-loathing, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. And some cleanup on the underside of my desk.
Sure. Oh, hopefully not the desk we're at right now.
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Don't look.
Good. I'm on the other side.
So. I always say the underside of my desk looks like the roof of the Lewis and Clark Caverns. I'm not sure how many people get that joke, but
there's going to be some serious googling.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah,
nice. So he's trying to explore essentially the emptiness that is our hookup culture, which I see what he means by hookup culture, like with all these fucking apps out there, like Tinder, Grindr.
Grindr.
Yeah.
Don't know
that. You don't know it.
I've never heard of that one.
Never heard of Grindr?
No.
It's Tinder, but for gay people.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, then, all right, got it.
Yeah. Also, I think it can be used for anybody, but Grindr was like specifically for gay people. That was like the first one. I remember the controversy of hearing about it. I think it started in New York or some shit, and it was supposed to like you have the app open and it pings you when there's another gay guy nearby, so it'd be like, oh hey, there's another dude.
So you just have to go gay sex in the park.
Go pull Michael George Michael and Booker bang in a public restroom real quick. Yeah.
Alright, well. Oh, those fags.
Yeah.
No homo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, my day's ruined. Yeah.
I'll never listen to this podcast again.
Yeah. So, that's kind of interesting. So it's like, where really, how is this art? Like, how is this a performance art? It's a dude that's finding a dude he said he signed up for sex sites, sex apps. It's one dude finding another dude to, like, you know, fuck in the ass or something. And,
is he a top or a bottom?
Article didn't mention, I didn't look.
Or is he a verse?
A verse?
Versatile.
Oh, is that what they call him?
Yeah.
Verse? I'm verse.
Yeah, you go either way.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But how does that work? I've heard people say, like, strictly, I'm a top, or I'm just a bottom. It's like, well, does the top, I mean, isn't that selfish? Wouldn't the guy who's a bottom eventually want to also fuck an ass?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, will the tops ever bottom?
I've had some friends that are very gay.
Yeah.
And
I have too.
There's very, there's some, it's a lot more strict rules. They're a little more. They don't fly so fast and loose in the gay world.
Really?
It's very, you know, I am a top or I'm a bottom.
Yeah.
Generally, you know, but then again, you usually have like the male, the one who plays kind of the more the male role, and one plays the more feminine role.
Sure.
Generally, one playing the more feminine role is the bottom.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, I don't know. That's kind of it's
interesting. So he didn't say. I mean, who knows? It could all be oral. But he said he was tested for STDs, and he's got a condom sponsor even. So,
Jesus.
But where does it? How's this art though? Like, where does it cross the line from like him just like finding an excuse to like be a slut to like actual performance art? Like, is he going to do a big expose on the loneliness and emptiness that he discovered?
How do you feel being the guy being on like day 352?
Yeah,
you know,
you're just using me.
Yeah, hold on. So, are you going to call me?
Yeah,
call me maybe. You know, no. Okay. All so, right. I mean, that's you're talking. Is this like a calendar year? Do they have a truncated year in Germany? I'm not sure how it works over there.
I think the article said he is starting in September, and it's going to be every day for 365 days.
Oh wow! Yeah, I mean, you're right. Where's the art? What are we putting together? Like, if I see another guy fucking another guy, I don't think art. I think that guy is definitely fucking that guy.
Yeah.
There's no.
He's going to town.
There's not. There's no art involved. What's he doing? Drawing like little pictures in his back on lube while he's fucking him in the ass or something? Or what?
Yeah. Taking a picture to make a collage. I don't know, a coffee table book. I'm not sure.
A collage of dried cum and ass stains.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well. I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the art is. I don't think that. But here's the thing: what's art these days? Like, there's
it's subjective. Absolutely.
I go to in L.A. There's a Museum of Modern Art, and there's very few places in the world where people are more pretentious than L.A. about their fucking art.
I can believe that.
You know, and it's just like you go and there's just like these sculpted. Orbs. They're like sculpted like orbs and squares and triangles and they're just like mounted on sticks. And you're like, this is, how the fuck is this art? Like, what am I? Oh, it represents
Jesus.
Teenage angst and the move driving force to overcome. It's like, no, it's just some fucking random shapes, dude.
Yeah, and that's what you said it is. It's like, I found this blog for delusional artists where people can submit stuff. And there's been things that have been featured, like you're saying, in major art museums where it'll be like just this huge blank white canvas with like a random like black brush stroke. There's one like that, black paint. And that's in there.
God.
Yeah, this represents the plight of the Ethiopian opium woman's circumcision. Yeah. And
the minimalistic, his minimalistic view on, you know, whatever. It's such bullshit.
It is. Interesting. But
you know what? Hey, I can get some funky frames, a scarf, and a beret, and probably get mad pussy.
You probably could. Especially in Portland, one of your favorite places.
Just
I don't know about Spokane so much, but
I'll just get a loft somewhere.
Yeah.
You live in a loft, you're like halfway to being a fucking artist anyway.
True. Just like a cot on the floor.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's just simply, just have a bunch of, you gotta put some tarps down.
Yep.
And then put a couple easels up, and you're set. You take a girl over there, they get wet instantly.
Yeah, panty dropper.
Yeah.
We call this pad the panty dropper.
So
That's really all I got, though, man.
All right.
It sounds like we're kind of on the same page about some of those topics.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, let's move on from gay sex to women for a second.
Okay. Sounds good.
I was looking at this list. I found a list of, and I want to get your take. It's top 10 most beautiful Hollywood actresses of 2014.
Okay.
So,
I did not see a lot of new movies last year, but I like to think I'll know at least half this list.
Well, these are not movies. These are just actresses.
But I mean, are they new actresses? Or
they're all been around. But I want your take on where you're at on these particular women.
Okay.
Some of them are polarizing. Some of them are hot. We'll just get it.
So when they say movie stars of that, they just mean movie stars in general, or were they actually in movies of that year?
I think they were all in movies.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all in movies. Yeah.
Just because I was going to say, like, why are they picking these particular women for that year?
I think they're just, you know, actresses and the ones I think are hottest.
Okay. Reaching for content.
Yeah.
Where was this from? What publication?
It's like top104.com. It's a list. It's a website that just does compiles top 10 lists.
Huh. Never heard of it.
So, number 10.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Where are you at on Jennifer Aniston?
I think she's a movie whore. Dude, she takes like any role, it seems like. We've had this discussion about regular male actors and how... Mm-hmm. A lot of leading men of Hollywood, I wouldn't consider actors. They're a face. Like, I mean, yes, Johnny Depp. I'm talking about, like, Johnny Depp, Mel Gibson, Tom Hanks, these kind of guys. And while I'm not saying they're not good actors, you can always see the mechanics at work. It doesn't matter what different character Johnny Depp is playing. He always has, like, the same mannerisms.
Right.
And, like, the same look in his eye. And, like, this, you know what I mean? Like, but, I don't even know where I'm going with that. That's kind of where Jennifer Aniston is for me. She always has, like, that same kind of, like, I don't know, little mannerisms.
Oh, yeah. Same Rachel character she's been since 1994.
Exactly. And she's attractive. She can be a good actress, but she's attractive for sure.
She looks good in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah. She had a scene in The Breakup too, where she's like fully naked for mine. Unless that was a body double. But.
Yeah. I think she's hot. I'm into it.
Okay. Yeah. She's certainly not unattractive.
Yeah. It's kind of like a. As she gets older, she's kind of got a cougar thing going on, so.
Which, can I say this real quick? Speaking of that, Gillian Anderson, dude.
We got from the X-Files?
Yes. Yes. My point exactly about the cougar-esque thing, you look at her in the mid-90s, when she was supposed to be in her prime, like in her 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Nah, didn't do it for me. Look at her now, dude. Holy shit, what a knockout.
Let's look it up.
Yes.
Okay, so number 9, Natalie Portman. Hot or not?
Yes, she's certainly attractive, certainly talented, but I've kind of been turned off from her ever since the Golden Globes a couple years ago for Black Swan. Did you see her up there on stage?
No.
Oh my God, she's just a goofball. But she just kind of struck me as a dingbat. I don't know.
My buddy is obsessed with this girl.
Is she?
Or he used to be. She's been around for a long time.
She has, yeah. She was in Heat. Like she was like 16 in the movie. In Star Wars Episode 1.
Yeah.
She has been around for a while.
She's been around a long time.
I don't know if it was like hers or not, but I saw a picture of her feet somewhere and they were disgusting and that really turned me off.
Well, you know, I know you're a feet guy.
I am.
Brian has a thing for feet.
To clarify for our listeners here, I don't have a foot fetish. I don't jerk off to toes or anything. I don't want to like
Not jerk off to toes.
Huh?
I mean, but you would not jerk off to toes, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would not jerk off to toes. Like, I don't jerk off to feet.
No, I mean,
like,
but you wouldn't.
Well, it depends what they're doing.
I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I would.
If there's a nice looking set of feet there, I'm not just going to sit there and jerk off to those feet. I mean, you know, like I wouldn't want to lube up my girlfriend's arches and like put my dick in there and get out. You know, but here's the thing. Here's my thing. There could be a 10 absolute knockout 10 from the ankles up. But if she has like that weird raptor claw middle toe, or like some crunchy toenails, or just weird feet in general, instant boner kill.
Yeah.
They will turn me off quicker than a chick. Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually slept with a girl one time who was missing a toe. Yeah, that would have fucked with you. Hardcore, huh?
That would have been so weird. Were the other ones nice, though? Because maybe...
I didn't pay a lot of attention. Once I found out she was missing a toe, I tried not to stare a lot.
Which
plus,
one was it?
Plus her large facial scar was really hard to... You know. So...
No, I'm just kidding. What charity case was this?
It's not all tens.
Did you have a weird phase?
You gotta plow a three to appreciate a seven.
It's quite true.
Moving on. I've said too much. Okay, Megan Fox.
Okay, here's the thing with her. I see the appeal. Like, I can see why people think she's hot. She is boring looking to me. I just don't like that kind of that look. Yeah, I just don't care for her.
She looks super slutty.
She does. That's true.
Which has an appeal. Yes.
That is kind of awesome, right?
So she looks rough, not rough, but she got some work done recently, and she looks like a fuller, her face looks puffier, weird, too full of collagen and shit, so. Okay. Number seven, Cameron Diaz.
You know, it's interesting you mention this, because I was actually thinking about bringing up Cameron Diaz at one point on the cast. She is an anomaly,
trying to
dude.
Get her on?
Yeah, if I could. She might need the work, I don't know. She is an anomaly, dude, because I remember when she made her debut in The Mask back in, like, 94, 96, somewhere, I think it was 94. I just remember, like, I was, like, 10 at the time, and I spilt gallons of prepubescent semen over her. Like, I thought she was just the absolute most stunning.
Right, but when you're 10, you can fucking beat off to a mailbox in a strong wind. I mean, you don't need
that's oddly specific, but sure.
Well, I'm just saying, an example.
Well, even if you look at her now in The Mask, it's like, yeah, what happened to that fox? And now it's like, she is a total bucket.
This is where I differ with most people. I have never been down with Cameron Diaz.
Never, not once, never. Not even in The Mask. No. Have you seen her in The Mask?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
Never, and I was old enough to beat off when that movie came out.
Yeah.
Never. Just not down with it. Which, I mean, she looks okay in this picture, right?
Yeah.
But she's got, but I swear, I see her and she looks busted nowadays, dude.
Yeah, there's something that's just,
and she just had, she always had fish face. Her face is too wide. She's got this long mouth, like Joker
smile.
Yeah, I don't like it. So, number six, this is a girl who is gorgeous to me.
Okay.
Mila Kunis.
Mm. I do think Mila Kunis is highly attractive. I really liked her in Black Swan.
I like her because she kind of has like that, you know, the heavy eyeliner, kind of dark, kinda dirty look. Yeah. But here's the thing with Mila Kunis. She's Ukrainian, right?
Okay.
Ukrainian, Russian girls. Have you ever seen a hot older one?
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Because I haven't.
I would like to think so.
They don't.
Not all Russians are like the little short, fat ones with like a huge ass mole on their cheek.
No, they're not when they're young. But I've met countless gorgeous young Russian or Ukrainian women.
Sure.
I don't see older hot ones.
No.
At some point, they just fucking turn.
Huh.
The mole just grows and they lose a foot. And, you know, I mean, look at Anna Kournikova in a couple years is going to be beastly. So.
Wildebeest. What? Okay, well, I'm trying to think. There it is. We got to look up some Russian celebrities. I'd do it if we had the internet right now, but we don't. We're in a new studio,
fuck
by the way.
CenturyLink.
Yeah.
Fuck Comcast too, but we got to go with one of them.
Yeah.
So
we got to find some famous Russian models.
I'm sure there's a couple. Look, I mean, there's some black guys that haven't been to jail, but you know, let's
some Mexicans have car insurance.
Let's play that exactly. See, let's play the odds though. Mila Kunis is gorgeous to me though.
Okay, she's the first one on this list so far that stands out to me. She's also got a uniqueness to her. She doesn't kind of... All the other ones we've mentioned so far, maybe except for Natalie Portman, sort of have almost like a cookie-cutter look, if
sure.
that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
this seems like a standard hotness, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, Mila Kunis kind of has a uniqueness to her.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Exactly.
Okay, so the couple other... actually, after this list, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson at number five.
I've gone back and forth on her.
I do, too.
Quite a bit.
She's got a rocking body.
Okay.
The face is kind of... She's got a funky nose.
Okay.
You know what the sexiest thing about her to me?
Huh.
Is her voice.
Yeah, she was good in Her.
That just that kind of like...
Barely scratchy.
Yeah, dude. That to me is super hot for some reason. So
she does have a good voice.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed, but she's...
Yeah, well, I wouldn't kick any of these girls out of bed.
Well, right.
Really, I mean...
Maybe Cameron Diaz.
Depends what she's willing to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's hot. Scarlett Johansson is hot-ish, but it's just, she's, I don't know. Like I said, I go back and forth on it. So, number four is Jessica Alba.
Okay. I've always thought she was a cutie. She reminds me of, like, a fun chick. She seems like a chick that's just, like, fun, down to hang out with the guys, but is still feminine. Girl next door, kind of sweet looking.
I feel like she had her peak a couple years ago of hotness.
Okay. Okay.
Like, when she first came out, she was just kind of like, eh. She was too young and, like, not developed enough. Just didn't look like a woman yet. You know, looked still like a young girl. And then she kind of hit her peak. And then she got pregnant. And now she just looks like a mom to me. Like a good-looking mom. Good-looking mom, yes. But not, like, crazy sexualized, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So, number three is Marion Cotillard. I have no idea who this even is.
Yeah, you got a picture? Oh, okay. She was in... Wasn't she the chick from Inception?
Maybe.
And I think she was also in the Johnny Depp movie Public Enemies.
I don't know who she is from this picture. She looks cute-ish.
She's got a nice exotic look to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. Number two, Emma Stone.
She's another one that I've gone back and forth on. For me, the overall verdict is that I do find her attractive. Yeah, I do. She has that voice, kind of. That's kind of scratchy. Maybe it's a little too scratchy. Yeah. But I think overall she's an attractive girl. I just saw a trailer for the new Michael Keaton movie called Birdman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in it, and she looks like a junkie. She's so thin, and she's just got this gigantic head on top of this skinny-ass neck. Big, bulging eyes. Like, yeah. Weird dude. I didn't care for that. But like, I liked her in Superbad and in the Spider-Man movies. Yeah.
I go no.
No?
She doesn't do it for me.
You don't do it?
No. I mean, there's. I've seen pictures where she looks hot, but, you know, it's just the right angle, touched up, edited.
Exactly.
Like, she is not a girl who in real life would look good, I don't think.
Okay.
So,
you could be right.
And number one is Angelina Jolie, which to me is such a fucking cliche.
That movie. Really is. No, I don't find her that attractive. She's not unattractive, but she doesn't
I'm not that into it either, dude. Yeah. Too skinny, sharp-ass, like, features, and
she's harsh.
Big lips, and just very overdone. Like, I mean, she's just, like, it's too... too overdone, like too fake.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that makes sense. Like you said, very cliche. She's always on the hot list. So, what's the question?
So, the question is, if you had to choose top three celebrity women,
mm-hmm.
top three hottest in your book,
in my book. This is one of those questions where I've actually kind of thought about this stuff before, but then it kind of goes away. Like, I'm sure I'll be leaving out a girl that I thought of before. That was like, Rachel McAdams for sure.
Okay.
The redheaded girl from
You got all redheads.
Rachel McAdams isn't red.
Is she a redhead?
No, she's a brunette.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she's a natural brunette, but she's done the blonde thing for a while.
Okay.
Shit, what's her name? She was in American Hustle.
Amy Adams?
Amy Adams, yes. I really like that.
Alright.
And number three. I gotta give the third one some thought. It'll come to me. Cause there's a specific one.
Interesting.
It's escaping my mind right now, though.
Amy Adams, huh? That's an interesting choice. I'm not saying no, but, like, top three?
Jeez. Yeah, I really dig it.
All right. The, I gotta go Kate Beckinsale.
Okay, she's nice. She's the dark-haired girl. Yeah, she is. She's a fox.
Have you seen Underworld? It's a terrible movie, but goddamn, she is in black leather fucking running and wet the whole time. She's just, like, wet, and it's amazing. I still stick with Halle Berry. Does it for me.
Interesting.
And then I'd probably throw Mila Kunis as the third.
Mila Kunis. Yeah. Okay. My third at one point might have been Ava Mendez.
Oh, you're a big Ava Mendez fan. Yeah, I know.
She's kind of fallen off, though, in the looks department recently, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the movies here.
Okay.
We want to talk about... Last week we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy and how I felt it was a perfect film for what it was trying to be.
Right, and that led us to the discussion of what makes a film perfect? Who decides that a film is perfect?
It is kind of subjective, right? And we came up with a list each of 10 plus one. We did 10 movies we feel are perfect movies and one animated film.
Exactly. So, how do you want to do this? I have a feeling there's probably going to be a couple titles that
couple
we share.
Crossovers?
Yeah.
You think?
I do. So, what do you think? Should we go, like, title for title?
Let's go one and one.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's, you go ahead and, we'll save the animated for last.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss what makes a perfect, what we feel makes a perfect movie.
Okay.
So go
first
ahead.
One, and this isn't necessarily in order. I put this one down because it is also my all-time favorite movie. And I didn't put it on the list because it's my favorite. I really tried to look at this whole thing as subjective.
We should quantify this, too. We picked contemporaries,
yeah.
Mostly. We didn't want to, like... We're not just here to argue the validity of Casablanca or
exactly.
Off Wizard of Oz, classic movies.
Godfather.
We're talking, right. I mean, that's cliche. I even kept like movies like Goodfellas off this list.
I did, too.
So, you know, I mean, those are movies we all know are great movies.
I've got one from, like, the 60s, but that's really it.
Okay.
So the first one... All-time favorite movie, however, like I was saying, I try to compose this list, being completely objective and everything, like not just because I like the movie, because some of these movies on here I'm not like a gigantic fan of,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, so first one, The Insider, not to be confused with Inside Man,
yeah.
But The Insider, Michael Mann wrote and directed.
I know you like Michael Mann.
I do.
Huge Michael Mann fan.
That's right.
The Mann fan.
The Mann fan, there you go.
That sounds like a gay bar. The Mann fan.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good movie, very
yeah.
good movie.
Yeah.
I would never come up with that one, but that is a good movie.
Might be a bit obscure for you. I know you only watched it once, and it's because I pretty much hounded you to borrow the DVD.
Yeah.
But, to me, do you want to talk about, like, briefly what
yeah.
makes it... Okay,
yeah,
for me, what makes it perfect is the character development, the plot structure, I mean, kind of all the basic points, the way it was shot, it was beautifully shot, the soundtrack... To me, it's just a flawless film.
Okay.
It is what a film should be. To me, it doesn't get better than that.
That's fair. So, all right. Again, this is in no particular order. And we're talking about movies being perfect for what they are. So keep in mind, we're not talking about movies that were accoladed, you know, lots
yeah.
of awards. We're talking about just the perfect type of movie for what they are.
Like for that genre. Like
exactly.
Movie. Yeah.
And I think you did too. I tried to spread genres a little bit.
Yeah.
But first one on my list, again, no particular order, is The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
I am a huge Coen Brothers fan.
Yes, you are.
I think that's a perfect movie for what it's trying to be.
Which is what?
Which is kind of a satirical comedy, a little bit of a dark comedy.
Okay.
The writing's great.
Character development, character top notch.
Yeah, character development, the pace. It's well shot, of course. Coen Brothers movies are all well shot.
They are.
The
character development is so fucking top notch that it's like
that's any Coen Brothers movies though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, almost.
But this one in particular, I have seen that movie probably 3 dozen times. I know it inside out.
Yeah.
There's parts like when Walter will be saying something, I'll still laugh my ass off.
Oh yeah.
Like, you get to know them. You get to know those characters. You know.
Right.
They're so well done.
And some of the stuff we'll get into in a minute about what makes a perfect movie, too.
Sure.
So, which will kind of help boil this down a little, but...
Good choice. That was actually on my list as well.
Was it Big
yep.
Lebowski?
Yeah,
okay.
For comedy, dark comedy, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, next one down, another Michael Mann, Heat.
All right, I thought about Heat.
Did you?
And I like Heat. I think one of the problems with Heat is it runs a little long for me.
I could see that. They could cut a little out, and I'd be okay with it.
And I think it got a lot of hype because of the cast,
mm-hmm.
which I don't want to go so far as to say stunt casting.
Okay.
But it was very much like, you know, the first time De Niro and Pacino were on screen together.
Right.
You know, and it's back when Val Kilmer wasn't fat.
Yeah,
that cat
blew up. He's like a fucking inflated mattress.
Yeah. Good movie. Very good movie. And hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
A little long for me. Loses me a bit at times in it, just because of the length, but a good movie.
Sure.
I went to, you know, you do two Michael Mann movies, I went to another Coen Brothers movies.
I think I can take a guess, let's see. It's
Fargo.
Yep, I got that on my list too.
That's an amazing, that movie is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Sure.
My favorite movie of all time is not on this list, Clockwork Orange. I didn't go that deep into the archives. Actually, no Kubrick films are on here, considering how much I love Kubrick.
Okay,
I'm
surprised by that.
It's too deep. I didn't want to go that far back.
Okay.
And I think, Kubrick is such a, you know, well-known director and lauded that I didn't feel we needed to, you know, debate the accolades
okay.
of Stanley Kubrick.
That makes sense. I didn't expect Clockwork, but I did expect some Space Odyssey.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No Kubrick at all.
Okay.
So,
Fargo, huh?
I love that movie. That's right in my top three of all time.
Okay.
Talk about the
unfortunate lovability of terrible characters.
Yeah,
The Coen brothers have an ability to make you love characters you should hate, and maybe it's just my own kind of twisted brain. When I do my own writing, I kind of write in kind of dark comedy. That's what I really enjoy. So maybe I just relate to it better. But just they really make you love people that you want to hate, and that in itself is such a accomplishment in any type of storytelling.
It's true. It's true. That is a skill. Yep, I agree. Fargo was on there. Okay, next one I had was Shawshank Redemption.
On my list as well.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It's hard to argue with that one.
It is. It's just, again, a perfect film. Beautifully shot. I'm typically not a fan of narration in movies.
That's hard to argue with Morgan Freeman there. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
And it works in that movie.
he made me bank at Chase. Okay, he's the only reason I bank at Chase.
There you go. Yeah, that movie almost makes me want to do time.
Yeah. Right, I want to be raped in a laundry of a prison,
you know,
in the 30s.
Yeah.
So,
good times.
Or whenever that movie was set. Something like that, right? 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, spot on, though. That's one of the greatest movies of all time.
It is. And I want to kind of add something to that. I was just thinking about this. I feel like that movie, it is, to me, a perfect movie, which is why it's on the list. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people claim to love it just because it's so well loved, if that makes sense. It seems like a movie that like a lot of frat boys love.
You know? Really?
Yeah, I get that a lot. And appreciate it for what it is, or like no?
I think most people have only probably caught parts of it on TBS.
Yeah,
you know, like totally. Never actually watched the whole movie.
Yeah,
but just the story from the very beginning, and he's, you know, thrown in jail, wrongfully accused, and all his time spent in prison, and just like his attitude, how it changes, and the slow, meticulous kind of pace of it, and that moment when, you know, the warden throws the chess piece and it goes through the hollowed out poster, and just it goes back and kind of tells, it's just so, it's genius. It's a great,
great film indeed.
So
what do you got
next on my list? I have Black Swan, which to me is one of the greatest movies that have come out in the last maybe decade even. Perfect movie. I love Darren Aronofsky. This was Darren Aronofsky at his best, which he followed up with Darren Aronofsky at his worst with Noah.
Yeah.
But Black Swan is a perfect film to me. It is filmmaking 101. There is so much telling through color and scene setup, and you know, the cinematography. The cinematography tells most of that story.
It truly does.
You know, which is really genius filmmaking.
And you nailed it with the colors. I remember watching it I've seen it only a couple times, but one thing that always stood out to me was the use of white, black, but also gray.
Right, yeah.
The neutral characters. Right. Like, that was like the dance instructor, or the French dude. Like, he always was wearing like a gray sweater.
Right.
Yeah, brilliant film. Actually, that didn't even cross my mind, as much as I love Aronofsky.
That is to me, one of the greatest movies, especially made in the last decade or so.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Big Lebowski was in my next segment, but still moving on down. This one is actually kind of debatable. I sort of like wavered on this one a little bit.
Okay.
But Braveheart.
Huh. All right.
I know it swept the Oscars, critically acclaimed, well-loved. Historians hated it because, you know, they weren't wearing kilts at that point in time in Scotland.
Sure.
And, you know, the affair with the Queen never happened. But again, for what it is, and what it's trying to be, I think Mel Gibson killed it. The guy might be a fucking raging racist, but goddamn, he can tell a story.
He can make a movie. Yeah. Apocalypto was good, too.
I love Apocalypto, yeah.
Okay. I would have never put Braveheart on this list, but I get why someone would.
Okay.
If that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, like, personally, I like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's probably close to a perfect movie. I guess I haven't watched it long enough to where I don't know if I watched it now that it would hold up for me. I feel like it would, but it may not.
Yeah,
so it's hard for me to say that.
It's been a few years since I've viewed it.
Yeah.
So.
It's been probably 10 years since I've seen it. So, I mean, I don't know if it would hold up for me now. So that's probably one of the reasons I would think, like, it wouldn't go on my list. But it could. You know, if I watched now, I could still love it.
Sure.
Possibly. Next one on my list is maybe a little obvious, but Jurassic Park.
Okay, that never would have crossed my mind. Interesting. Jurassic Park, huh?
It is a perfect movie for what they were trying to do.
That's true. Okay, cool. I'd agree.
I still think the effects hold up like crazy.
I think for the most part they do, especially for the time.
There's some scenes, you know, like the Brachiosaurus scene when they first see the dinosaurs. Little shaky, not that much worse than anything we're doing now.
Yeah, that's true. That shit pioneered back in the day.
Absolutely.
Look at the original Spider-Man movies, like we've talked about. It looks like the scenes were just lifted straight out of a PlayStation 2 game.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, I mean, you watch that scene where they're being chased by the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Shit looks...
It looks real.
Or the kitchen scene with the raptors. I mean, that's pretty well done.
Yeah.
It's well written. It's paced perfectly. It's fun. It's adventurous. It's everything you want from a good, you know, kind of lighter action movie.
Blockbuster, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything you want. It was perfect. Okay. Plus, it's dinosaurs. Besides your girlfriend. I don't know anyone who hates dinosaurs.
That's a good point. That's actually a good submission for this list. That's actually what this list is about. That's a good contribution. Next one I put up, taking it back a little ways, Psycho, the original.
Okay, well, I didn't go back that far, but that is a... I'll agree with you there. I love that movie.
Yeah, and I tried watching the new one by Paul Verhoeven or whoever made it.
With Vince Vaughn?
Yeah. And he was trying to do it... Yeah, he was trying to do a shot-for-shot remake, like an homage. It was terrible. It just didn't work.
It's never gonna work. No. And Vince Vaughn is not the guy for that role.
No, not in the slightest.
And I don't not like Vince Vaughn.
Oh, wait, was it Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, well, Vince Vaughn was in that,
I thought
wasn't
it was
he?
Joaquin Phoenix.
I thought Vince Vaughn was in that.
You could be right. And then he, like, masturbates while he peeps through the hole.
it's weird. Yeah, I just remember... Yeah, it was... the original one was great, though.
And I put it...
Hitchcock was genius, though.
Yeah.
He's so underrated.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to talk about... we should maybe list some underrated movies sometime.
No, that's not
Hitchcock
that
would just dominate on that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I put it because it's... I don't know if it makes... It did... I mean, to be honest, after I made the list, I actually kind of looked up, like AFI's Top 100. Mm-hmm. Like, just to see kind of, like... And, 70% of it was classics, like Gone with the Wind and shit.
Yeah.
So, but Psycho was surprisingly not on a lot of those lists, and I put it down because of the pacing. It's the right amount of suspense, plus it kicked off a whole genre, basically.
Well, it builds. It's such a build-up, and actually, this is going to tie in perfectly to my next movie on the list.
Okay,
it's such a tease the entire movie, and it just builds this anticipation of when you finally like. The last scene of seeing the, you know, the dead mother, you know, and things like that, in the in the rocking chair, right? Isn't she, or what is it? How do they find, like, they show her in the...
Yeah, in the basement. She's, like, her skeleton is in
right.
the rocking chair.
It's such a tease building up to that. The whole time, it's just all this, just like, fucking getting your pussy wet the whole time, just wet, just to big, you know. Which is the way I always describe this next movie on my list, which is Alien.
I thought about putting an Alien, but I left it off.
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ridley Scott first one. To me, is a perfect movie. Well paced. When you finally see that alien, you are just like, oh fuck! This movie just, you know, this whole just intense buildup. It's killer. So.
Yeah, very true. That's what it was all about, that buildup, and that kicked off a whole genre.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, next up for me. I did have Fargo, we already talked about that. Dumb and Dumber. Again, movie snobs, you know, you're never going to see it on like an AFI 100, you know, or IMDb 100 best movies ever, but for just being like a dumb slapstick,
comedy.
Comedy, it is excellent. The characters, the way the actors nailed it.
Yeah.
I never read the screenplay, so I can't really talk about like how the script was written for the development of the characters, but... I'm sure
how comfortable that is to the actual characters.
Yeah, like I'm sure Jim Carrey brought his own brand.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Really that
well, that's when he was in his prime too. He was really killing it at that time.
True.
He's not whatever the hell he's doing now.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, another one I never would have put together, but it, you know,
it
very
is.
Funny movie, perfect for what it is, and actually that kind of goes really well with my next choice. I went to comedy. For a perfect movie for comedy, I chose Airplane.
Okay.
They accomplished exactly what they wanted to accomplish. Funny. To me, it still holds up. That movie I will watch it now and still find jokes that I missed other times around.
That's a sign of a good storytelling.
So.
Good filmmaking. Yes, I know you love Airplane. You let me borrow it and I watched it. It's on Netflix, so I watched it again.
Yeah.
It is funny and this is on my list, but your Airplane is my Caddyshack. That's kind of how I feel about those two. I kind of see them as kind of being hand in hand,
a little
similar genre, but that's how I feel about Caddyshack.
think Caddyshack's a killer.
Yeah.
A perfect movie?
Oh, it's not on this list, okay. But I think it's a fantastic movie. It still holds up. I can never get tired of watching it. Okay. I dig it.
See, Caddyshack's a little... Maybe that's one that's going to go on the overrated list for me.
Really?
Because I like it. It's funny.
Yeah. But not I'll cult watch classic it. Style film, yeah.
I mean, I see why it's a cult classic, but I don't think it's as funny as people... I don't think it's as amazing as people love it, so...
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got next?
Oh, you're up. I just did airplane.
Oh, that's right. Next up for me is The Departed.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Scorsese.
Yeah.
I did. Good movie. Great movie.
It is. Very well shot.
Leonardo DiCaprio is amazing. He always is. I don't care how gay that makes me sound. He's a killer actor. The guy's awesome.
Yeah. I would like to hang out with that guy.
Yeah. So.
And the reason I put that over something like Goodfellas is because, again, we're trying to stay kind of contemporary. But I just think it's a great film. Like, I've seen that movie probably a dozen times.
Talk about a twist.
Yeah.
The way it kind of twists.
They should call it Everybody Dies. Like,
well, yeah. Oh, shit.
Except Mark Wahlberg.
Fucking depressed.
Yeah.
The way it twists, you know, there's a certain point in that movie where you are so not confused in a bad way, but confused in, like, a very attentive, interesting way.
Yeah.
As to who's actually... really on what side when it comes to Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon's characters.
Yeah.
They've kind of inverted so many times.
Yeah.
And you're exactly. kind of unaware of where they actually are as a character anymore. And you're not confused, you're compelled to find out what happens. And
yeah.
They all fucking die. Spoiler alert, they all die.
Yeah. That movie's like, what, 8 years old now? And the statute of limitations on spoiler tags is passed.
God, that movie's got to be older than that, dude.
I think it came out in 06.
Maybe.
2005, maybe?
I felt like it was before I moved back to California, but maybe not.
You're probably right, though. It's either I think it was 2005, because I remember the final season of The Sopranos.
Oh, was that... God, was that long ago?
That was 2006, and I remember at one scene, he was like, oh, man, The Departed soundtrack is just the best.
Oh, okay.
So, I think you're right, though. I think it was 2005.
No. Yeah, good movie. Scorsese. I don't have any Scorsese films on here, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
I have Shawshank Redemption. That was my next one. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Seven.
Okay.
I love David Fincher a lot.
You know what's interesting, dude? I vacillated on this list with a couple David Fincher titles. I actually looked at putting Fight Club down, and I looked at putting The Social Network.
Okay. I never saw The Social Network.
Oh, man, it's good.
Okay.
If you want to put it on here, I've got it on my computer, actually.
Okay.
Nice Blu-ray copy. Yeah, so Seven.
Okay, yeah. Another movie that just... You know, Brad Pitt kills in that movie. Brad Pitt kills in that movie for me.
I respectfully disagree. I was actually going to make a little joke now about how apparently acting doesn't constitute part of a perfect movie. For me, it's just the end, like, what's in the box? What's in the box? Like, dude, oh, that's just so bad.
Well, I love that scene. I love the movie. Kevin Spacey is amazing in that movie.
Yes,
you know that they wouldn't even let him come to the premiere... because they didn't want people to know he was in the movie. It was such a surprise. Like they didn't actually advertise that he was in that movie. They didn't let him come to the premiere or promote it at all because they wanted it to, when he was revealed as the bad guy, they wanted it to be such a surprise.
Interesting. Well, that's extra interesting because that was before he was really a household name, wasn't it? I thought it was like American Beauty that really put him on the map.
I mean, he'd been around, done a lot of stuff. I just don't think he was, he wasn't as big as he is now or was. I guess he's probably a little past his prime now, but
yeah.
Great actor, though.
Yeah, he truly is. Yeah, American Beauty, that was actually close to being on the list.
I thought about it. I think it kind of falls in the overrated section for me.
Yeah, it's on that fine line, for sure.
So.
Okay, so the last one that I've got before we hit the animation one is Jerry Maguire.
Of course.
It has nothing to do with Tom Cruise.
Don't lie.
It has nothing to do with
that. How many times did you beat off to that movie?
Probably a couple, but it's only because of the Kelly Preston scene.
Yeah. No. The
it's not a sports movie to me. It's a perfect romantic dramedy.
I don't feel like there's a lot of substance to it for me, which kind of throws it off the tracks for me. Like maybe I'm being too critical now with what we're trying to do, but I guess because it was kind of what it was trying to be. I think it was wanted more substance than it was. Like, they wanted you to really, like, feel for him and the relationship and Renee Zellweger and this whole money situation with Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character and like, him and Tom Cruise's relationship, which I never really cared about. Didn't really make me care a lot.
Sure.
So.
Are you writing that down for your overrated list?
No.
Okay, good.
Let's write down some other ones.
All
right. Okay. All right. Well. So I've apparently we've had more because I still have two more here.
Okay.
But next one on my list, Boogie Nights.
That P.T. Anderson, that didn't even cross my mind.
That is a great film. And again, perfect for what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Okay. But talk about something a little too long though. That one kind of starts to lose me. The reason I can stick with it is because of how, even though it's long, it does. It goes through the time nice, like his rise in popularity, his success, his peak, to him like crashing, being a total cokehead, becoming a delusional songwriter.
Yeah,
you got the power.
That's a great film. Dude, Mark Wahlberg kills in that.
It's
movie.
True, he does. It is a great film,
and he's like the only thing from Boston I've ever loved.
It's a stylish film too.
Yeah, very. Yeah, and last on my list before we go to the animated, the plus one. Silence of the Lambs.
I thought about that as well, but I left it off. But that is a great film. Perfect amount of suspense. Talk about the build-up.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Plus, I love Q Lazarus.
Yeah, all right.
Goodbye, Horses.
Was that the director?
No, Q Lazarus is the singer of the Buffalo Bill song.
Goodbye, Horses. Oh, okay. I'm like, who the hell are you talking about?
I don't know who directed that shit.
I don't either, actually. I'd have to look.
Yeah.
But yeah, that probably falls in my top five of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one. So. Which is a shame that it was followed up with that pile of shit, Hannibal.
Oh, yeah.
Red Dragon was actually not bad. That's like Brett Ratner's only good movie.
Well, you do know that Silence of the Lambs is actually a sequel.
Yeah.
To Manhunter.
Yeah.
Which Red Dragon was kind of like a remake of.
Yeah.
But a shitty remake.
You didn't like Red Dragon?
Not really.
I liked it. I thought it was good. It was a very commercial-feeling horror film.
I feel like they were just trying to push the limits at that point.
Yeah, they could have been.
And just trying to make, you know, see how far they could go with kind of this whole, like, you know.
Did you see Manhunter?
Yeah.
That was one of Michael Mann's first movies.
Really?
Yeah, that was him.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I think so, anyway.
That's good. Okay, interesting list. What's pick for animation? I've actually got two that are kind of... It's hard for me to pick only one, so I've got two, but I picked them both for kind of the same reason.
Okay. For my animated film, I chose Finding Nemo.
I knew you were going to. I totally knew. I called that. Yeah. Okay. Why?
DreamWorks kills it when it comes to a story.
It's Pixar.
I mean, Pixar. I'm sorry, Pixar. Those guys know how to write a story.
Okay.
Almost all of the Pixar movies are well written.
Yeah, I think Cars 2 is the only one that got like bad reviews.
Really? Yeah. I've never seen. I haven't seen any of the newer ones, but the older ones were, God, just all well written, well put together, well structured, good character development, great characters all around, funny for all ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. The first one I put, and this is kind of cheating, was Snow White. That's kind of the first of its kind. It's a great film, classic story. The more accurate one would be Toy Story, though, the first one.
All right.
Didn't like Toy Story.
Saw that coming. I did not like it. It's all right. That falls in the overrated section for me, definitely.
Really?
Very overrated.
I would say sequels do, the third one especially.
Never saw the other ones.
Yeah. The first one, though, man, I mean, it defined a genre. It was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Great story, the good humor. I just don't think it gets better than that. There are other movies that I like better that are animated.
Yeah.
But I think that's the epitome of a perfect animated film. All
right. I had a couple honorable mentions I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Just real quick, honorable mentions: The Professional.
Leon the Professional.
Leon the Professional.
Young Natalie Portman.
Yep.
Good film.
Fight Club came close.
Okay.
L.A. Confidential came very close.
You know, I never finished watching. I saw like a third of it. Should I give it another watch?
I think so. It's a great movie. It's not a perfect film, but it's a great movie.
Okay.
American History X.
Oh, damn. Forgot about that. That is a great film.
And The Usual Suspects. But The Usual Suspects actually, and not to give away one next week, but that to me is near perfect film, but also overrated.
Yeah.
So it kind of it falls in both for me. You know, it's a near perfect film, but when you in kind of what they're trying to do, but it is overrated. Maybe I'm being contradictory by putting it in both, but it kind of, you know.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. It's a tough line to walk.
So
tight line to walk, but yeah.
So let's wrap up with saying what makes a perfect movie anyway.
Okay, this is where it gets really tricky. You know, I try to really pick it apart, and there are of course a lot of basic factors like character development, cinematography, acting. To me, part of it also is, you know, is the movie like a game changer? Mm-hmm. Like it did it define a genre, kind of like Toy Story did.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, for me, it was a lot of stands the test of time.
Yeah.
Rewatchability.
I could agree. Gladiator has kind of fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
We talked about Braveheart earlier. Gladiator is a little, doesn't feel as good. Doesn't feel as quality.
Like people, like so when I was talking to people about this, some people mentioned the movie Blade Runner, which to me is extremely overrated.
Yeah.
Especially the last 45 minutes of Harrison Ford getting chased around by a big Aryan guy in his underwear in slow motion. It's just like really fucking weird for me at the end. It's super homoerotic. Overrated, and you can, it's like a time capsule. Like you can tell when it was made. It's very dated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, movies, if you know, that still look or seem relatively timeless. You know, obviously the script, something that's well written, well paced, well put together, mm-hmm. the cinematography. You know, you've got to be able to tell a movie through. You know, a good director can tell a movie with no words.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the words help, but a good director should be able to convey emotions and things happening just through scene structure, color, fade in, racking focus, all these different things, you mm-hmm. know. And one of the big things for me is continuity. You don't mean just continuity of the story, but continuity of the world they're in. I mean, does it make sense? You know, like this, you know, in like Liar Liar, like my son wished on his 11th birthday for me to not be able to tell a lie. Now I can't tell lies,
right?
Like that doesn't make sense in a real world. But if we're talking about, you know, not that I like Lord of the Rings, or like let's go Star Wars, the movie I like, okay, well, you know, if you with the Force, if you train and believe and have confidence in yourself or whatever, and the control and, you know, sense to, you can use the Force and get better at it. Well, that makes sense in that world.
In that world, sure.
So it's the continuity of that world. And as long as it stays consistent and with the canon they have set up, then I'm okay with it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. I would agree with all those points.
So, it's, I look forward to next week. Overrated movies.
Overrated and gritty movie reboots.
Gritty movie reboots.
That'll be a fun one.
Okay. Alright. Good homework. So. Yeah. Alright.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for listening. This has been The Social Hour with the Typical Bastards. We'll be back next week. I'm Brian.
And I'm Deese.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.